I thought we'd pick up on our earlier chat with Neighbourhood Watch in the first hour of the program. One of the top five areas police say that they're seeing rising crime in is domestic violence. And if you were with me before in the first hour, you would have heard that chat with the editor of Neighbourhood Watch. You can hear it again, or if you missed it, you can hear it for the first time on our website, Southern FM. Just click on programs and scroll down to Wednesday 12 till 2 and you'll find the program there. The top five areas police say that they're seeing rising crime were theft from cars, theft of cars, and then the third area was domestic violence, and in particular a rise in breaching of orders and multiple arrests where, you know, the same people are being arrested for breaching orders. So for many people, mainly women, a top area of crime prevention is, of course, preventing family violence. Now, there are lots of services in the community that are available to help victim survivors of domestic violence. And one of those is Good Shepherd. It's a not-for-profit group. It focuses on women, children and families. And Audrey Kelly is the manager of the family violence services across this region of Melbourne and across the Bayside area. Audrey, thank you so much for taking the time to come in.
Thank you so much, Claire. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little about Good Shepherd, because I have to confess it's not an organisation I know a lot about.
Yeah, absolutely. So Good Shepherd is Australia's oldest and longest running non-for-profit, specifically for women, girls and families. We have been in Australia for over 160 years now, and our vision is really to help women, girls and families to stay safe, well, strong and connected. We have a national footprint across Australia and work alongside multiple stakeholders to provide that support as well. And we have a range of services as well, from family violence support to financial support as well.
So is the Good Shepherd name, is that rooted in a religious organisation?
It is. So the history of Good Shepherd is connected with the Sisters of Good Shepherd, and our story started in France a very long time ago, and the sisters came to Australia over 160 years where they started doing an amazing body of work all through that time to where we are right now.
And is it still an organisation connected to the church?
So, no, we are a faith-based organisation. However, a Good Shepherd provides services to everybody, and there is no specific affiliation.
Oh, okay. Okay, the Good Shepherd name is the giveaway to that historical connection.
Absolutely.
I get that. Okay. So what are you doing in particular in this part of Melbourne in terms of the services that you offer?
We offer a really wide range of services when it comes to family violence in the Bayside Peninsula area. So really, you know, going from Port Melbourne to Portsea, which is a really big area.
That's a huge area, and you cover that whole area.
Absolutely, in terms of our services. And, you know, we are one of the services providing support when it comes to family violence. We provided 24/7 model of service for victim survivors, and we talk mostly about support to women and children, given the nature of family violence. And we really provide support, you know, from that crisis perspective, providing case management support, including risk assessment and increasing safety for risk mitigation strategies as well. We have an after-hours program where we support victim survivors who might be in emergency accommodation, who might have just been displaced. We have a high security refuge, and very recently we have opened an emergency accommodation for women and children who are from a culturally and linguistically diverse background with little to no English, to provide that support instead of them going to motel.
One of the things that I've read about this fairly recently was the problem of often people not being willing to leave the situation where they're at risk because they can't take their pets with them.
Absolutely.
And there's been a bit of a push, hasn't there, to try and provide refuges where people can take their pets.
Oh, absolutely. A pet is a family member for so many of us. And to ask someone to leave their pet has often been the barrier to leaving. And unfortunately, often the pet has also experienced abuse. So at Good Shepherd, we are in incredibly lucky because our high security refuge is fully pet friendly, and we try to support victim survivors in emergency accommodation as well, where they can take their pets with them.
Mm. And you mentioned women from diverse backgrounds as well, Audrey, and I know that there's a lot of mythology around domestic violence, a lot of myths that people think. For example, it only happens to women from lower socioeconomic groups, or it only happens to women from different cultures than the mainstream culture, for example. How, you know, what's the thinking around those attitudes now?
Unfortunately, I think that some people might still be thinking that this is the case, but I can sadly confirm that, you know, it is not family violence. And I refer mostly to family violence as the terminology that we use more oftenly in Victoria. And it involves domestic violence and intimate partner violence as well. There are no barriers. So the socioeconomic background doesn't matter. The culture doesn't matter. The level of, you know, education that someone might have doesn't matter. Sadly, family violence cross all barriers.
Because it's about power and control.
It is absolutely about power and control and that dynamic.
I introduced you, Audrey, by talking about the crime statistics that came out last week from the Victorian Crime Statistics Agency, which said that, and the police response to that report was that domestic violence is the third most common area of crime that they're dealing with. In the area that you cover, are you seeing evidence of that increase?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We see the increase in the family violence level in our area, but we have also observed a higher level of complexity. The seriousness of family violence being perpetrated as well has increased, and that has definitely been our experience working directly with victim survivors.
And do you have any idea why that's happening? Is it because people are struggling in particular at the moment? What's your thinking?
Violence, at the end of the day, is always a choice. So I think that we need to make that always very clear in all of the conversations that we have. But we do need to acknowledge stresses that might contribute to violence. You know, the cost of living, difficulties to be able to access housing that can lead to breaches of intervention orders happening at time. You know, when there are specific events like grand final recently, sadly, is a time where we all prepare ourselves to see a spike in the level of violence that will be experienced by women and children. There are different stresses. It is hard to be able to pinpoint one in particular. This is where we really focus on, you know, how do we respond, but also how do we work more in the prevention space as well.
And what extra is being done given these increases and given these known stresses, like, for goodness sake, the grand final? What extra is being done?
I think that there is so much that, you know, there is a lot that we are trying to do, but not just the family violence sector, but the sectors, the community sectors in Victoria and in Australia as well, in terms of providing support, in terms of exploring where responses need to be available, you know, whether you are someone experiencing family violence or if you are someone using violence, where to be able to get that support as well. And, you know, there is the Orange Door that is an intake point both for victim survivors and for people using violence who might want to access support themselves. There are programs such as Men's Behaviour Changes that exist. There is work happening. There is still a lot of work that needs to happen. So there's definitely a lot still to do.
Why? What? That terminology, domestic and family. Why are there several terms that are used?
I think that as a sector, and I think all sectors, we like our jargon. We like having our different words. And we have been incredibly lucky in Victoria to have the Royal Commission into Family Violence. And we have been working towards ensuring that there is consistency in the wording that we are using. So when we talked about family violence, it is really all form of violence where, you know, it is going to be your intimate partner, it is going to be family members, it is going to be siblings. And for First Nations people as well, it is the community. community. So it really is a way of talking about the whole spectrum of what family violence encompasses.
And the other thing we mentioned, thank you for explaining that, that we were also talking about some of the myths around family and domestic violence. And one of the really common things that people say is, well, why didn't she just leave? Before you answer that, let's just clarify, because what I often hear as well is, well, it's not just women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We often talk in a very gendered language when it comes to family violence, and this is because the data shows us that women are the most impacted by family violence. However, everybody can be impacted by family violence, and there are support as well for men who might be experiencing family violence, and also for people who are in same-sex relationship who are experiencing family violence, and going to the Orange Door is a fantastic starting point for support.
And what about that common comment of, well, why not just leave? Why not just walk away?
I think that when you are being very rational and probably sitting very safely at that point in time when you're asking the question, it is a very simple question. But we do not really think about what does it really mean. When you're contacting a service, we would be having a conversation with you around risk. And we would be talking to you about our concerns if we have any. So every time that you do think of saying, why doesn't she leave or just leave? What if you were to have a conversation with me right now when I say to you, based on what you have just shared with me, I really do not think that you should go home today. So what you have with you is what you're going to be taking to go in emergency accommodation. Let's go pick the kids from school. And then that's it. It is a displacement. You are going to be losing connection with people. You are going to be away from your home. You will need to think about, you know, how that's going to look like for the children. At times, because of safety concerns, they cannot go back to school. You might not be working. You might be financially dependent. You might have caring needs. That means that you cannot leave either.
Or caring responsibilities.
Or caring responsibilities for other people. Mm-hmm. So why does she not leave is a very simplistic way of saying, you know, there's an easy way out. You're choosing to stay. And that is not as simple as that.
And the classic answer, of course, is it's not that I want to leave, it's that I want the abuse to stop.
Absolutely. And more often than not, we cannot forget the fact that, you know, there has probably been good time in their relationship. There has been times where there might not have been violence. So there might sometimes be the hope that maybe things could be different. Maybe there could be a change. And taking that step is not easy. And research has shown that it takes about 7 times for someone to finally leave a relationship. So it is not a quick, easy pack and go.
Are there any other myths, Audrey, that you try and tackle through the work of Good Shepherd?
I think that we'll work a lot on the fact that the violence is not someone that the victim survivor has created a situation for it to happen. So we do a lot of psychoeducation with victim survivors where they blame themselves. They blame themselves for not having cooked dinner on time. They blame themselves for not making themselves available enough or for not being well or saying no at times to certain things. So we have to really work with them and support them to rebuild their confidence around the fact that they do not always have to say yes, that they are their own person. And when you are in a relationship, it is healthy. It has to be healthy. And healthy means that you can say no without the fear of consequences.
And for people who would like some phone numbers or perhaps some alternatives for getting some support, whether victim survivors or perpetrators, where would you suggest people could go?
I would absolutely encourage people to call the Orange Door in Bayside Peninsula. I would encourage people to contact 1800 Respect. It is national. So even if you're in Bayside Peninsula and you want to move out of area, they can support you with being able to know who is the right service for you to be able to talk to.
Audrey, thank you very much indeed. Audrey Kelly from the Family Violence Services for the Good Shepherd. Lifeline as well is 131114 if you feel the need to talk.